We appreciate everybody that's here this morning, and we've met some new people, and we appreciate them being here. We hope they have a wonderful time. And those of you that are tuning in this morning, if this is your first time, you're welcome. We hope you're blessed. And more than anything else, we pray that the presence of God comes through the camera, that you don't just get information, but that you get presence. And also that there is a healing virtue that comes out of this place today that actually physically touches you. Physically, I mean, actually literally touches you if you're desiring to be healed. And all of us that have any kind of prayer request before the Lord desire that to be made manifest. In a little bit, we're going to give you an opportunity to give. And those of you that are online, thank you for your giving. Thank you for all of you that you may not give every service, or you may be giving through our PayPal or some other way, but you're faithful, and so we appreciate that faithfulness. We'll give you an opportunity in just a few minutes when the kids are dismissed to go over. And I want to say something, too, about the kids. For all of you parents that have kids that go over, I just want to tell you, behind the scenes watching first Amber and Davey when they're planning their what they do. And now this week, Candy's going to give them a temporary break so they can be in here. We don't want our teachers to always be over there. But I'm just amazed how, in a good sense, that they're not just babysitting. They're over there really, really, really investing in our kids. And Candy this week, she took the opportunity. I thought she was preparing for a conference or something. She had me take her to town. She had to get stuff at Michael's and stuff so she could teach and use her. And I'm thinking, if you love kids and if you take your ministry that serious, God will get involved in whatever you do. And if people think, well, they're just over there for the hour that we need to have them away from us so we can hear, you're wrong. You're wrong. And that goes into a teaching that we all must have to put into our hearts, is that whatever God asks you to do, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. And I mean, if especially those ministries where nobody sees, or you're rarely ever going to get a thank you. I oftentimes get attaboys, and I appreciate that. Somebody said this morning, I don't know if I'm qualified to give you an attaboy. You are all, I'll tell you, we appreciate it. Us teachers appreciate attaboys. But the unsung heroes are really those that most of the time it's not that they're trying to be misgiving, but they just don't think about it. But I appreciate, and I want you to understand that when your kids go over, they're getting something quality, really quality, very, very quality. Yes? You sure can. She said, can I say something? This is my wife, by the way, Miss Candy. There you go, Miss Candy.
I don't usually like to get up here and speak, but I just wanted to share real quick that when the Lord had him pray for us all concerning worry, it's just exactly what the Lord has me teaching the children today. And when he started speaking about not worrying and that the Lord would take care of things, the scripture that I'm sharing with the kids today is consider the lilies. Hmm. And he's having me put together a little vase with a lily in it for them to take home with words on the side that say, consider the lilies. And I just know God just really cares about us.
Yeah.
He really does care. It doesn't matter what worry or concern you may have. God cares about it.
That's right.
How big you may think it is or how small it may be. These children, when they go to bed at night, we pray over them. We ask the Lord, we tell them, you know, Jesus is in your belly. You know, Jesus will help you. We have a little two-year-old that's telling the people at the nursery, Jesus is with me, he's in my belly. And God cares. He really does care. And I just want to reassure you that he cares, and that he says, consider the lilies, they neither toil nor spin. Yet your Father in heaven takes such care of us. How much more would he care for us than a flower that's here today and gone tomorrow? So just, I would like for you all as adults to go home with that thought in mind. Consider the lilies.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. The problem that we have with this generation, a big part of the generation, is that much of them don't grow up in church, Sunday school. And it's great wherever you come in to the kingdom, it's wonderful. But biblical illiteracy is because we have not had a generation of kids go into Sunday school. They don't know who David, Samson. They don't know who the three Hebrew children were that are teenager, actually young men, probably in their 20s, that were in the fiery furnace. They don't understand the travelings of the children of Israel in the wilderness. They don't understand anything about the major prophets, the minor prophets, because they've never been taught. And so they don't have the foundation. One of the things that God wants us to do in this outpouring is to provide. This is why we need. Somebody said, well, we're doing okay. Listen, please catch the vision with me. We need some place where there are multiple rooms. This is corporate. This anointing will flow, and when it flows through me, there'll be great messages and sermons and teachings and series, and other men and women will stand and present that too. And then there'll be healing lines and ministries and baptisms of the Holy Ghost, and different things will be taking place. But the foundation also must be where we have these separated schools of foundation growing up our kids. Because revival is not only spiritual, as in revival, it's also reformation. Reformation means it reforms. And so we're not just looking for a revival, we're looking for a reformation. We're looking for a reforming in our region. This is why we need a bigger location. This is why I'm asking you to please continue to pray for us, continue to envision God blessing you with more money than you've ever thought possible, so that we buy this place in cash. I'll never ask you to sign a note. I'll never ask you to put up anything. I'll never ever come to you and ask you for a pledge. But I can tell you this, God is asking you as an individual to believe for a facility for us so that we can educate our kids and bring forth a revival / reforming, reformation. So praise the Lord. Pray about your offering, and I'll pray with you. So Father, right now, open up our hearts, not just for today, but for tomorrow and next week and the week thereafter concerning our giving. And we bless them now as they prepare to give in Jesus' name. Amen. So in a moment, you'll get an opportunity. I'm going to show you something. It's 5 minutes long. And it's a friend of mine, so this is not somebody I don't know. Some of you know Hans Zanstra, and he has an evangelistic call on his life, but he often taught before the prayer center in Tulsa has seen a temporary close, a physical close of location. He was oftentimes the speaker there. At different times, he would be called on to speak, and had a wonderful ministry, teaching / or prophetic teaching. But his primary call is to the nation, to the continent of Africa. And he sent me something a few weeks ago, and so I'm slow always about how God wants to present something. And he did not ask that it be presented to you. He just said, this is private. This is really just private. And you could share it if you want to. So I got in touch with him the other day, and I said, well, I knew what God was saying to me. I said, they'll have your permission to show it. But I said, if I show it to the congregation, it'll be streamed as well. And he said, sure, absolutely. So I want you to see something, but it's an opportunity for you. And we very well possibly can show this next week as well, because next week I'm going to give you opportunity, not this week, but I'll give you an opportunity. There'll be a second, which we never do, a second offering. And so I just want you to really just watch this. And I'll say in advance that this man is not a hireling. This man is just a real wonderful, humble guy that really loves the Lord and is called to do what he's doing. Last year, he's been down to Africa several times. He's called to the whole continent, but he's primarily focusing on Kenya right now, I believe. But last year at June, like a little over a year ago, he, his wife and son, I believe, and his brother-in-law, I believe that's the right, they all went down for like a month stay, and they were in a unsecured location. Thank God Jim Martin, when he hosted and took Candy and I down with he and Kathy, we were in a secured location. In other words, we were behind locked gates, high walls, fences around, and barbed wire and stuff, and you have to have that. You really do if you know, you just need it. So they were not in one of those locations, and in the middle of one night they were broken into. Thank God his wife and son were in the next room and locked away, and they were okay, but the perpetrators got in and actually beat Hans and his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law were severely hospitalized and had some life-threatening complications as they robbed him. But so you'd think somebody like that would get their, you know, get a cue, like get a clue. That's all right to say you want to do something, but if you get beat, you know, I don't know if I'm going back. The closest thing that I ever got to even being nervous was one night some soldiers stopped us, and it's dark over there. I mean, there's no street lights. So some soldiers stopped us. Candy and I were in the back seat, and Jim was in the front seat, and I think Kathy was up with us in the back, and they stopped us, and they're standing there with AK-47s, and they wanted our passport. Well, they wanted Jim's passport. They got our passports, but they gave everybody's passport back, but Jim's, I think it was. And isn't that about it? He didn't have one. He left it at the room. That's it. Okay, he left it at the room. So there, and I'm thinking, you know what? God bless Jim. When I get back to America, I'm going to have everybody pray for him because I'm going to go back. I love Jim, but I'm going to go back. But they let us go, and the guy told us when he's driving off, our interpreter, he goes, they wanted money. And, you know, but that's how it is. Everybody's on the take over there. Every single soldier's on the take. And a policeman, they're all on the take, basically. So he said they wanted money, but they didn't get it. And thank God they let us go. But Hans is going back, and I want you to hear this, and then we'll let our kids go. And by when the kids are you know, going next door, you can also have a time of giving. But I think it's 5 minutes, so let's take this 5 minutes. I'll catch those lights. Okay, you got it? Good. That'll be good. All right, let's give it a watch.
A lot of people like to quote the Bible. And one quote that I hear often is, "The truth shall make you free." Yet when Jesus said it, he added an if and two ands before the phrase, "The truth shall make you free." He said, "If you abide in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So it's really the truth that you know from being a disciple that makes you free. And that's why my wife, Teresa, and I started the ministry, Burning Truth Ministries. We want to see people free. And so we want to teach the Word of God in a way that they can know and understand, receive that truth, and that truth will make them free. Along with it, we're called to the nations of Africa. And so we changed the name of our ministry last year to Burning Truth Africa because it better defines what God has called us to. Years ago, I saw a vision of the continent of Africa, and there was a flame all the way around the continent, and I could see through the flame, and I could see men and women preparing for war. They had spears, they had shields, they had very primitive weapons. And through this vision, the Lord showed me the people of Africa need to be taught how to use the weapons that the Lord has already given them so that they can sanctify their culture and bring forth that which God wants to do in their nation. I believe God's called us to do that. And the vision that He's given us, the strategy that He's given us, is to build transformation centers in strategic places throughout Africa. The first place that He's given us is in Kenya. And in Kenya, we have the property. We have a well on the property. We have a building for church on the property. And we have a place to grow crops on the property. Because a transformation center is going to have a church, a school of ministry, and an agricultural center where people can learn how to grow their own foods, how to provide for themselves, for their family, and impact their community. When we go to Kenya in October, we're going to continue to work on the property that's there. The well needs a good, consistent pump that'll provide water throughout the property and to the community around them. So we're going to install a solar pump because it's the most consistent way to continually provide water there in Kenya, Africa. And then we're going to install new bathrooms because the bathrooms that are there are outhouses that aren't even complete outhouses. They're just holes in the ground and they're not sanitary. So we want to put in real bathrooms that have toilets that flush, that have sinks where you can wash your hands, and it's clean and a sanitary place for people to use while they're there. And then we want to put up a tent that will be a temporary structure for people to meet for church while the existing building is torn down and a new one put in its place. And finally, in order to do all of this, we need to have a secure property. So we're going to replace the fence that's there with a more secure fence and a good gate to make sure that we have proper access to the property. To do all of this, the cost is $23,000. And this is just the first phase. But we know God's going to provide everything all along the way. He's already provided for our airfare to get there, and we know that He's going to provide everything we need as we go. All I ask is if the Lord's saying anything to you, He puts something on your heart, that you obey Him. Do what He asks you to do. Or if you have a desire in your heart to be a part of what we're doing in Africa, then do that. You can find out how you can give towards this trip and how you can be a part of Burning Truth Africa by clicking the link just below this video. You'll go to our website. You'll find out some of the things that we've already done in Africa. And you can see how you can be a part of what we're doing this year and going forward. And just know, as we go to Kenya and to the nations of Africa, you are going with us.
Hallelujah. So I'll just tell you real quick, Hans is not a rich man. He is rich in Christ, but he just works. He has he's a working man that works, and he just doesn't have a support group that just always, he just believes it in. So what we're going to do next week is we're going to take an offering up separately from our normal offering, and then you're all free at any time to Burning Truth Africa to send in if the Lord challenges you, and I hope that He does. This is our opportunity, this is our time to have the compassion to say we want to affect other people's lives, and what is my part? Everybody's got a part. So I can't think. I just wish that I was one of those people that just said, no, wait a minute, please. Anybody else wants to give something? Great. Help with other things. Let me just write the whole check. That's the heart of the gospel entrepreneur. And that's the heart of the... So please just be in prayer about it this week. And I would like for, not for our glory or that I have any glory in this, but that especially here locally, if you're going to give, that you'll give, even if you give online, that you'll let me know that it's for that purpose so that we can, the family person or Mockley can just send one large check. So we'll have an idea of what we were able to do, okay? So praise the Lord. Let's all stand. And Marty's going to give us something to change directions here. And our kids, now listen, if there's a nursery next door and there's TVs in the nursery, so you're not going to miss anything if you need to take your little one over there. But our kids can be dismissed right now. And if you have something, bring it down. And if you don't, if you're giving online or you're just going to give later, just say hi to somebody next to you again, once again. But go ahead, Marty. And the classrooms are switched, so they did some things this week. So you go into the, use the opposite door from last week, the way that you were doing. Okay. Or somebody or whoever, but we got a prophecy. Oh, he's already got it covered. He's got his help. We got a prophecy from last Sunday. We want everybody to get a copy of it. Candy's not in here today, so I'm thinking this is on the website. It would be the last prophecy that has come up, although there was one Wednesday night, but this is probably already on the website. If not, it's okay. Well, I hope it's okay with you. But the title of it is Imagine Bigger Things. How do we do on copies? Okay? Little bit short? Yeah. Well, we need to. There you go. So share alike. Hallelujah. Remind me to remind Candy that we are bigger than what we thought. Hallelujah. This is Imagine Bigger Things, and we're going to have to imagine bigger. So, hallelujah. I think it was 50 copies, or I don't know. So, we're going to have more than that. Hallelujah. The name of this, or the title of this particular prophecy was Imagine Bigger Things. And I felt that Sarah picked the perfect title, as she always does, but I thought a subtitle could have been God's Dreams. Or God's dream. And so what we're going to see as we read this particular prophecy together, and then we're going to go into some other things, is that God has a dream. And that dream is revival. That dream is an outpouring of revival. And that dream is to see the kingdom of God come in full power. Why would Jesus tell us in the Lord's Prayer to pray, "Thy kingdom come"? He's saying, "Thy kingdom come," and he established the kingdom. In other words, it's already here. We're not trying to you can't recreate the will. You can't recreate something that he put into effect. The kingdom is already here in full existence. Full existence. If there's a miracle that takes place today, which I expect there will be, it's not because we're seeking God for revival. It's because the kingdom is already established. Everything is built on one thing, that kingdom has already come. But when Jesus said, "Pray that the kingdom of God come," he's talking about it that comes in power, that it's established on the earth in fullness and in power, in the full demonstration of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If someone gets healed, if a miracle takes place, it's not because the revival has brought it about. It's because, and some people have exceptions with the word revival. All I can say to you is God bless you. I have people write to me sometimes, and they I don't know, maybe they're lovingly trying to correct me or loving trying to tell me about revival. I get it. I'm totally sold on that, that the kingdom has come. And I totally know that. I totally know. I'm still catching it, just like all of you. I'm catching an understanding, just like. And I'm not. Everybody's revelation and what they see is so vitally important. But here's the deal. Yes, and I've said this before, and I agree 1,000%. What the boys received on the day of Pentecost, that wasn't a revival to them. That was just more of the kingdom. That was Jesus 2.0 going forth in the earth. But that's dead, folks. If that had been lived right on through the 21st century, then we wouldn't be using the terminology revival. That doesn't, I'm sorry, that, you know what, that wasn't revival for them. We've got to have a revival, meaning going back to the original. We have to. Because the original is not, the original is here, but it's not here. Do you understand that? It's not a play on words. The original is here, but it's not here. The original is here in fullness. In other words, it can be accessed at any time. We don't have to wait until what we call revival takes place for the blind to see or the lame to walk or the deaf to hear. We don't have, that's not like, oh God, when that day happens, then the kingdom of God will have come. No, the kingdom of God's here, but it's not here. It's not taking place like Jesus left it. It's not in the condition that Jesus left it in. It's not in the condition of the outpouring on the day of Pentecost. So we've got to revive what was left. Hallelujah. And I think you get it. I think you get that. It's very, very important that we do get it. But God has a dream. He really does. His dream is that not that the kingdom would come, it's come, but the kingdom would be reestablished in power. It would come back in the fullness of which it was left. The inheritance that was left us is reinstated in fullness. So that's where we're at. That's where we're asking God. And you've all got a part to play in that. So having said that, Father, we thank you because your presence is here. We don't have to really even ask for that. But we're just asking specifically as we enter into these thoughts and what you have to say this morning and the fullness of your kingdom and then, Lord, this particular prophecy and going forth from it, that you'll guide and lead us by the precious person of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So as I said, this could have also been said God's dream, but imagine bigger things. So God's trying to take and put on our hearts a continuation of the truth concerning the dream that he has for revival. And the Lord said this in the first paragraph, "From the very beginning, I desired more than anything else, sons and daughters who could worship me in spirit and truth. That was the first, that's what God wanted in the Garden of Eden. I mean, from the very beginning. After the fall, I sent the one, he's talking about Jesus, to restore all things back to the original plan and purpose that I had for mankind. By the way, for those of you that are watching and are not new to, or not accustomed, or maybe you're here this morning, you're not totally accustomed to prophecy, present day speaking, we could call it. It is one of the different gifts of the Spirit, and it is the speaking, the present day speaking of the Lord, and it comes by the gift of prophecy, by the holy person of the Holy Spirit. And we received one of these last week from the Lord on the given Sunday morning. And so what I'm reading is what the Lord said to us. And he used this vessel, myself, and these things were recorded and then written down. And so we're rehearsing and seeing what the Lord, hearing again what the Lord said. I sent the one to restore all things back to the original plan and purpose that I had for mankind. And that is for him to know me and me to know him in intimacy. Now, that's for you ladies as well. When you use the personal pronouns of him, it's talking about you ladies as well. In intimacy of true spiritual fellowship, says the Spirit of grace. He, that's Christ, brought forth a standing in the kingdom in which you could know me face to face. But make no mistake about it. Religion has buried deep, deep the true essence of this kingdom and taught men not to understand those things in which I sent him to restore. But know this, that I've placed my heart and my dream. Now this is where he mentions it and he'll mention it again later. My heart and my dream inside each one of you that is on this path, in truth, says the Spirit of grace. So God's placed a dream. You're here this morning, you're listening this morning because you've got his dream inside of you. Paragraph 2, at your finest moment when you've thought that you've looked into the expectancy of how great these things could be inside revival, I say unto you, you've not yet seen or even begun to behold the glory, the wonder, the splendor, the excitement that I have for you in these things, says the Spirit of grace. Now, the Lord's just trying to get over to us like, however wonderful you thought this dream was, it's beyond that. Do not let your resolve ever be waned by the time or the season which the fight continues to persevere, says the Spirit of grace. For your hope and your expectation of the wonderment of this path and revival has not yet even begun to be expressed inside your spirit, says the Spirit of grace. I don't know how many have ever looked into this and seen like, God, could this really be as glorious as we think it is or think it could be? And God's saying, you've not even began to see how wonderful this atmosphere. We come in, this is really, you guys did a great job worshiping the Lord this morning. So I really mean that. And there's a presence here to help me, you know, deliver this. But can you imagine? I hope you can. And it's hard to, but can you imagine the essence of presence being turned up like you'd turn up a thermostat or turn down a thermostat to cool off the room or to heat up the room? Can you imagine the thermostat of God's presence being turned up like 10 times the amount? That's what revival is. Revival is a presence. It's the accentuation of the fullness of the Word of God, like anything that you've ever heard doctrinally comes to fullness, like, wow, it's really real. I've seen God a few times do things, and I was like, well, I believed, but, wow, this stuff's real. I mean, I've seen some miracles, and I'd see, oh, my God, God is real. Well, you know, I always knew God's real. No, I'll tell you what, when he baptizes not only your spirit, but your soul and mind goes, wow, God is real. He is real. So God's wanting a real or a realization, not only for the spiritual people that pray in tongues. We locate God every day, and God locates us through a spiritual application of the Word of God and the presence of God through us praying in tongues. But he's wanting a presence so great that when they walk in the door, whether they're born again or not born again, they're like, I don't know, this is real. There's a presence here. There's a tangible presence here. So God wants to turn this up, and he wants to turn it up over a region. And he does that through what we call the outpouring. I'm going to start again in the middle. For your hope, middle of second, for your hope and your expectation of the wonderment of this path and revival has not yet even began to be expressed inside your spirit, says the Spirit of Grace. And whatever moments or whatever times that you've fallen in love with this dream, there he goes again, called revival, says the Spirit of Grace, know this, okay, Lord, we'll listen, that nothing that you've ever thought to have seen was a lie. Like, man, I thought this was really going to be good. That's not a lie. But was penetrated and given over to you by the Spirit of Truth, who had eyes to see and ears to hear, says the Spirit of the Lord. So rejoice in this, that the better is yet to come, and hold fast to the dream, again, dream of restoration of the power of the kingdom, says the Spirit of the Lord. Third paragraph. For I desire presence. I thought so. Presence not only in your midst collectively, but you'll find for each of you that I desire for you to hope in and expect a presence to follow you throughout the day, to take you away in peaceful habitations of my presence, says the Spirit of Grace. I will create places which will be strange to you and yet very welcome by your spirit. Receive of these things, for they are the promise of the future and the coming revival. Now I can tell you this, and probably for those of you that have ever really launched out into extended seasons of private worship, there's been times where I have walked away in the day and then done other stuff, like, you know, whatever you do. I don't, you know, whatever you do, I mean, that's different, but, you know, but whether it was lifting weights or working in the yard or doing business or on the computer doing something or whatever, it was just like, there's a presence. This feels like when I'm in the presence of God in the middle of worship in the church or even beyond that. It can feel strange, but wonderful. Wonderful. Peaceful habitations. Fourth paragraph. Any picture that you've ever had of how wonderful it could be to share decades of outpouring with those that you love and watch the glory of the former come into being as if it was never lost. The glory of the former was the outpouring of Pentecost. Everything that, you know, the first church was birthed with. Know this, that you've only tasted. But that which you've tasted, I desire to complete in you to the full image, says the Spirit of Grace. Imagine. Okay, we're going to imagine. Imagine bigger things. Imagine bigger things to happen. See yourself in the place of continual visitation by my Spirit. For your eyes have not seen, nor have your ears heard. And now he's giving us a scripture here. But this is based on scripture. This is a scripture where, you know, they usually use at funerals. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But, you know, when you get to heaven, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about how the Holy Spirit will reveal these things to us now. It's out of Corinthians chapter 2, I believe. For your eyes have not seen, nor have your ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that I have prepared for you. in this existence of this outpouring. But know this, I have revealed and will continue to reveal them to you by my Spirit, says the Spirit of grace, and teach you through that language where I compare spiritual things to spiritual things, says the Spirit of grace. Now that's scripture. That's the scripture, but he brought that scripture to prophecy. Well, let's set that aside for a minute. You can take that home with you. Today's title message is Jesus Meetings. And for the purpose of you understanding and not getting misconstrued and saying, I'm not really sure what he's talking about, as far as definition-wise, we're going to give you a couple definitions and term those definitions and define those definitions as what it means for this particular message. So we just read the Imagine Bigger Things prophecy, but now I want to give these definitions. When I use the word virtual, just the word virtual, I'm going to be referring to church watched online. Okay? Church watched online. So you got that? So we're going to, when I say virtual, just use virtual unless I say something else along with it, is the church watched online. Now, if you actually look up the word virtual, now you'll find in the modern Webster's Dictionary, it does tag that, really. It does. It's among the definitions of virtual, it has that which is watched online, what you can get online. Then I'm going to also incorporate this definition, virtual church, the virtual church, okay? And what I mean by that is those not living in a reasonable travel distance to the church. Okay? So we kind of got that. A reasonable. What's reasonable? 300 or 400 miles, you know? No. $500,000. So virtual church is those not living in a reasonable travel distance. We, local Immokalee, because I'm going to put everybody, if you're watching this morning, you're Immokalee, okay? And wherever you're at in the nation or around the world, you're Immokalee and so appreciated, so loved, really so loved. We, local Immokalee, have been called to birth. To birth or provide the birthing place for a revival. That's our assignment. If you want to have any assignment, you're going to get an incredible amount of teaching around here. It's not only going to be by me. It's going to be by some other people, men and women. And that teaching is going to be the platform by which we do everything. It's going to be the foundation. But our assignment, our assignment is to receive the outpouring of the kingdom of God, the fullness of the kingdom of God, which we affectionately call revival because it's a going back. It has to be understood that we're taking something back that's not. It is in existence, Pastor? Yes, it is, and it is not in existence. Well, we local Immokalee have been called to birth or provide the birthing place for revival. That's our assignment. That's our a nativity. You have to have a cradle. This is the cradle. When the baby's born, this is where we're going to put the baby. Or the baby, this is the nursery. This is the birthing center. The birthing center is here. There has to be, and I have scripture on this, but not nearly as much as I could have. I just kind of left off because of knowing that once we did the prophecy, we wouldn't have time for everything else. And the prayer line that's going to take place. There has to be a city or cities of habitation by which the virtual church receives from, and then adds back to the flow coming from the original habitation so that both are benefited, both, us and them. Now I'm going to use a scripture. I'm going to read it for you. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to tell you right to start with that I'm not going to be at fault here because I'm going to tell you up front it's a little out of context. So if I'd use something out of context and yet tell you it's out of context, you're not being fooled, but it's not entirely out of context. The spirit of it still rings true. In other words, what I'm saying in this rings true in the essence of the message of that particular verse. Now, the verse itself, if we looked at it in context, it had something to do with giving and receiving. But that's not exactly how I'm going to use it, as in giving and receiving financially. But this is the verse. It's 2 Corinthians 8:14. By an equality that now at this time your abundance, and I'd say your abundance, local Immokalee, may be a supply for their want, virtual Immokalee. Did you get the terms from the beginning, local Immokalee and virtual Immokalee? Everybody's good on that? Okay. By their equality, now at this time, your abundance, local Immokalee, come on glasses, may be a supply for their want, virtual Immokalee, that their abundance also may be a supply to your want. In other words, what they're giving back to us in prayer. Oh, there's just wonderful people out there praying for us and wishing they could be here with us and supporting us financially, which I'm so thankful. That their abundance may also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. So in other words, we're all going to do this together, right? But we have to all understand our part, whether it's local Immokalee or virtual Immokalee. I'm just going to, you don't have to turn here. I'm just going to read these for you. And I could have got so many more, especially out of the Psalms, and how much the psalmist loved the house of God. And you can try to stereotype this and say it's a figure of speech, the house of God. He loved the house of God, the physical location where he met, where God met. And there was a lot of scriptures. I just said, well, I can't get all these. But Psalms 46:4 says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And I'm talking about a city of habitation, which we're building here. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in her midst. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Now, I'm just bringing up that river and streams is that there is one river we call a revival, a restoring movement of the power of the kingdom. But there's a bunch of streams that pour into that river that causes it to be a river. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a river. It'd still be a stream. But multiple streams poured in causes a river. In other words, you pour in your part, I'll pour in my part, they pour in their part, and we all create this one incredible river. Well, the river is flowing from the nativity. And then other streams are added to it. And people out there are adding to it with their financial support, their prayer support, and they're watching online even this morning. Psalms 122:1 says this, I was glad. I hope you get glad. I hope you stay glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I mean the physical, sit down, stand up location of the house of God. Psalms 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is what David said, and I'll dwell in the house. Somebody said, that's just a spiritual habitation. No. Listen, David equivocated and put together two parts, and it should be as one. The house and the habitation were one. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I'll say this, and I hate to say this. I don't hate to say it, because you'll get more that will encourage you, virtual church. But virtual will never replace skin. Not in the 21st century, the 22nd, if he don't come to the 30th century. Virtual will never replace skin. Thank you. I get this all the time from people that are, see, you can't give me any greater compliment, any greater attaboy than to say, it came through our TV, and that's the presence. I want presence. I want presence. I want you to feel the presence of God. You can't give me any greater compliment to say, you prepared enough, you prayed enough, and we got together enough, and presence came. That is the greatest thing. And I hear that all the time in a good way. That's not braggadocious. I hear that all the time. I felt the presence of God. But I can tell you this, I also equally hear this, that anybody that ever comes that's part of the virtual church, when they get here and they come in here, I just know what they're going to say, and I don't even ask for it. They always come up to me, and they always say this, there's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. Hallelujah. And there should be, in a certain sense, because the birthing place should be a birthing place where the glory flows out. Virtual church, this goes to you. You guys just listen. Virtual church, you are doing the best that you can, present tense. And God is well pleased. I mean, he's well pleased with you. You don't have a place like this. You don't have a place like Jim Martin. And there's no place around you that's speaking this kind of truth and seeking God for these things. And you have no other choice. And you are so well pleased by God. Presently, you have no other choice, but the revival will be, and here's a promise. I know it's from God. The revival will be just as strong for you as an individual wherever you're at in the days ahead because of something you are helping be birthed from this city of habitation. You're helping. Can you, for your brothers and sisters in Christ, can you say, praise the Lord? And can you give them a great big hand of applause? We love you. We really do. So let me talk about something for a moment to illustrate something that we're going to share in just a few moments. Wednesday nights, we have three official services. Three official. I used to say it was an elective. I was wrong. I got corrected. Okay, I'm corrected from time to time. Because elective is a week. It's a week, melancholy, milk toast, laid back, whatever. Whatever. We have three official services. That's Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and Sunday night, which is a prayer, worship, confession. But we don't even stream Sunday nights, okay? So that's, in a certain sense, it's still a little different. But Wednesday nights, as of late, and not as of late, for I don't know how long, I'm just going to give an illustration. In COVID, in 2020, the nation was on lockdown. We understood that. Okay, our governor was really good to us. He didn't really post any really judicial restrictions. I mean, if you got caught with more than 10, they weren't going to do anything about you. But the national mandate was 10 people or less at any given service. And that would usually give you enough handful of people to produce some kind of production of camera people, microphones, and a little bit of, you know, and then you would have a speaker, and then you'd have people that maybe would produce enough for if you had a worship service. Now, our Wednesday nights are pretty close to COVID status, present tense. It just kind of looks like when COVID was here. Now, what do you have to say about that, Pastor? Well, I'm not going to really, I pray this, I'm not saying anything. I'm just listening and hearing and talking. So, I'll stick to my notes. That way I'll be a good boy. Now, I said to God, I did this a long time ago. I said this way back when we started streaming 7, 8, 9, I don't know how long years ago. I said, My reservation was this. I said, I don't want to become a studio church. I don't want to become a studio church. Studio, here's another definition for our Sunday morning excitement. A studio is a place where just enough production people are present to produce something for the people that are not present. That's called a studio. I guess you guess by now that we're not supposed to, that we're not called to be a studio. No, you're going to have to forgive me because he does. Actually, he never has faulted me. I never have been convicted about this. It's just his reaction has been like, and I don't know if you trust me to think that I know God good enough to tell you I can see and hear his disposition at times. That's up to your judgment concerning me. It's okay. But I've asked God in my heart, not really with words too much sometimes. I've asked God in my heart, is it really possible, even after all our confessions, I've said, is it really possible to have a 21st century revival when technology has made it so convenient for the flesh to give into the temptation of not having to physically attend church? Is that, God, can you really ever have that kind of outpouring where people are really, you know what he does? So I hope I can bring a little lightness to the heaviness that's in the room. He always just laughs. He literally does. I can feel it. I can see it. I can hear it. He doesn't laugh at me. He just laughs like, seriously? You don't think I don't have a way of getting around that? He does. And I appreciate that about my father, that he gives me room. And what I'm talking about is it's so easy, Lord. It's just so easy to sit in your pajamas with a cup of coffee in your hand on your couch than having to shower, dress, and drive to a location. Rex has told me, I've wore out two or three cars driving over there. And he has. You're going to wear out some more, Rex. Six or seven, he says. Three or four. Two or three wasn't enough. Six or seven. I'll tell you what, though, Rex, you're going to die a rich man. Not just spiritually. You're going to have enough in the bank when you die that you could buy 20 cars. What's that? I'd rather give it to the church. Thank God. That was the response I was hoping for. I didn't think about it. I just didn't think about it. Let's be fair, Pastor. You can walk to the church faster than I can get in my car. I know that. I you probably can't present an argument that I couldn't think of. I didn't understand that. But then again, I've often thought, where would fair ground be? Like if you're thinking, when you start thinking, you know, natural things, where would fair ground be? Well, I got my back to the east. You know, that's the parking lot's towards the east. There's nobody. The coast is full, and up and down the coast is full. We don't have anybody behind me coming. The east, as there, that's, you go into Everglades, and, well, Everglades is south, but you go into just woods and, you know, Clewiston, Moorhaven, that's all over there. But we don't have anybody. But we've got, it's, Immokalee's pretty amazing. Our church is, we come from the north, south, and west. But if we just, we'll never do this, but if we just tried to consolidate and move any direction, if we move to the north, we'd alienate all our people from the south. If we move to the south, we'd move away from all the people from the north. If we moved, you know, in towards Fort Myers, would somebody and a bunch of people, it'd make it more inconvenient. So here we are. Here we are. You know, and I thought for a long time too, I thought this problem is really where we're located. And I know, listen, I get it. If you were here and you moved out, or if you come here and you didn't stay and you didn't move here, I understand. It's not, Immokalee's not the amenity capital of the world. And if you wanted really nice housing or pretty respectable housing, that's not the most available. I understand that. So usually we're all outside 45 minute or plus from this location. But I thought, well, that's probably part of our problem. But then my friend, he's a Rhema pastor, and he's got a powerful church. But his would be a different, I think I could check with him, but as far as I know, his demographics would be different than ours. Like, I mean, everybody would live in that particular location around the church. He told me recently, he said, 60% of the people no longer in our church, in his church, 60% no longer attend physical church. They still send in their offerings, but they don't come to church. Then he also said, because he's a, and I love Rhema people, he said, Rhema churches now, 66% of them in America are 100. They've dropped to 100 or less people. Church attendance is dying across America as far as, I mean, you can just look at that, any demographics on that. But it's not going to die in a revivalist church. Hallelujah. I'm thankful we're going to have a prayer time here in a little bit. With all that said, I said this before, but I'll say it again after what I just said concerning thinking, well, it's the demographics of where we're at and stuff. But no, it's just easier now, just in the generation that we're in, for locals. This is the temptation. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying it's easier now for locals, not virtuals, to sit in their pajamas with a cup of coffee and watch church and send, thank God they do, but send their PayPal offerings and then also feel that they're contributing to revival. Listen, here's the deal. I hope you ever get this. I hope at some point you get this. Your church attendance is a contribution to revival, local Immokalee. When you're coming, you're adding an atmosphere and a stream to this that is conducive to their blessing. It really is. And besides for that, here's the deal. Here's modern America. Please, I'll come and I'll even give financially, but don't really ask me to. Do you know that we would really love, and this is our confession. Jim Martin came up with some awesome confessions that Gay's going to incorporate. By the way, there's no church tonight. Somebody said, I was coming tonight. I know you were. I know you were. God bless you. I'm sorry. It's my fault. I canceled church. I know you were coming tonight, right? God bless you. The very night you were going to come. Man, gosh. Bad for me. Good for you, but bad for me. But what, you know what we need? We need not only, Marty's a great guy. He'd really like to have about three or four other technicians. We need some more worship people in the future, and that'll all be birthed. We need more worship teams, more musicians, more people that say, I'll get my feet and hands wet. I'm not just going to show up. We need more Sunday school teachers. Thanks, Davey. Amen. Davey goes, yeah, glory to God. Yes. And Amber's this. We need people that'll get in and say, I'm not just going to attend. Like, what do you need? What is it that you need? I mean, I'll put some sweat in this. I'll not just show up and say, church was good. Praise God, I got a revelation and Jesus touched me. But I'll put some real sweat in this. Glory be to God. Pastor, thank you. That's not a you. I'm just some little misfortunate unbeliever. It's an unbelieving voice, or not unbelieving voice, but reasoning, voice of reasoning. Maybe that is where God is going today. Everything will eventually just be virtual, just virtual. Maybe that's, you know, God kind of works with the times. You know, I'm not describing about this. Thank God, the greatest blessing was virtual, but in a certain sense, it became also a little bit of a curse as well. For a lot of pastors, God bless my Rhema friend who's fighting this, you know, we're all fighting. So I'm not describing a work of God, but a work against the flesh through a blessing from God. So I know, listen, if anybody knows, I know, and this is no braggadocious, I know what the virtual anointing is. I sit in a studio in my house that we've created in my office behind my desk once a week and speak to the nation of Brazil. And there is a tremendous anointing with no one present. Candy doesn't even come in there. She gets me started. Sometimes she'll help me. No one's present except the interpreter that I see on the screen and then the technicians that are working behind the scenes. But there's an incredible presence, and that's wonderful. And I know what a virtual presence, but do you really believe that God has called his ecclesia in these last days to become totally virtual without the power that is generated through the gathering of his people into one location and to celebrate the power that comes through the congregational praise and worship and the power that comes. Hey, these guys are all about, you're saying, some of you are thinking, I wish we had more praise. And I love praise. I think praise is perfect. We're mostly predominantly worship. And I know that's where we need to be. But part of not having praise is not that these guys don't know how to do it or wouldn't, but a lot of it has to do with also the accompanying instruments that we need to facilitate that, which praise really deserves a bass, a drum, and some other stuff. What I'm saying is God's going to bring all that in, but we're not lacking right now. Did you know there was no lacking in the presence of God this morning? But we're headed to stomp down, barn burner, watch yourself, whatever, get out of my way, because I'm going to run right through you, praise services. Glory be to God. You think you could help us, Natalie? I think so. But do you really think that he has called his ecclesia in these last days to become totally virtual without the power that is generated through the gathering of his people into one location and celebrate the power that comes through the congregational praise and worship and the power that comes through the laying on of hands and the power of demonstration that is shared with the joy of meeting with the masses. Now, Hebrews 10:24-5 says this, and let us consider one another to provoke one another or to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Amplified says it the best, because that sounds a little weak, because it says not forsaking. You say, well, I go, you know, I'm coming every once in a while, so I'm not forsaking. And that could seem like a viable argument, except the Amplified says this, and let us consider and give attentive, which is more of the Greek Amplified, and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how that we may stimulate and excite insight to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, and urging and encouraging one another all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. So what is the, you know, that's a good argument, Pastor, but it's not like we're for, no, but here's the deal. Okay, that may be a weak argument, like how much you should attend. Here's my ace. Now this you can't take away from me. You, as far as the argument of maybe it's all going to eventually go virtual, or maybe, I mean, nobody's that I've heard around here, but maybe, you know, seriously, you think me sitting at my desk speaking to a camera, though there is an anointing for that, will ever take away the power of us all getting together in glory? And but here's my ace. Here's my ace against the. It's not even Hebrews. That's a good not forsaking. But here's my argument. In the last days, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will return. Jesus meetings. Wherever you found Jesus, wherever there was a Jesus meeting, wherever there was a Jesus, come on somebody, wherever there was a Jesus meeting, there was people and lots of people. He couldn't be hid. He couldn't be hid in the house. He couldn't be hid in the desert. He couldn't be hid no matter where he was at. And the same thing's true today. If we get Jesus in his fullness to come to our meetings, there's going to be a lot of people. A lot of virtual people. Praise God for you. But there's going to be a lot of physical thousands and thousands. It isn't it kind of funny? It's really Jesus. He'd tell everybody, don't tell nobody I'm here. We're trying to say, please bring somebody. Get somebody. And Jesus, no. He's like, oh, shh. Don't tell nobody I'm here. Then in Matthew 14, he tried to slip out after John the Baptist, his cousin, was beheaded. He tried to slip out in the desert for some private time. He goes, let's get in the boat. Get in the boat. Don't nobody, we're leaving. We're going to go to a private place because we need some time alone. And the Bible says they outran him. They just saw his boat and they're saying, wherever you wind up, Jesus, pull in, pull over. Here we go. Here we go. Y'all keep rowing. We'll keep running. And in that instance, feeding of the 5,000 plus, which were like 20,000 people. And in the 4,000 plus, he said, these people, that wasn't an afternoon where they ran out and said, oh, we'll catch you on the slide. He said, these people have been, he told his disciples, they have tarried with me for 3 days. That crowd was with him for 3 days. He said, we got to feed them. They've been with us for 3 days now. All this bunch has been with, listen, revival in its fullness is congregation, people wanting church and wanting to be in church and staying in church as much as they possibly can. Glory be to God. We say, Pastor, you know, well, I can only make one. Listen, there's no fault to be given to anybody. I'm not trying to lay blame. But, well, can you show me in the Bible where it says how many services you should have a week and how many times? That argument, not necessarily, but I can tell you this, and I'm just going to read it for you. Acts 5:42 said, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach. We're only 4 services shy of that. We're only 4 services. You know, we do 3 services, and you can pick and choose if you can't come to all. But you say, Pastor, don't get legal. No. We're not trying to get legalistic. They were daily. That's 7 days. We're only 3 days, three official services. So we're four short as it is right now. But what, you know, by the way, it is, I know the 21st phenomenon. See, I had a terrible drug problem as a 5-year-old, 6-year-old. 7, 8. It was a bad drug problem. I never got deliverance either. Like Gary Carpenter said, my mama, she drugged me to church on Sunday. And bless God, she drugged me to church on, and we lived in Lehigh and our church was in Fort Myers, and she drugged me. She'd get in that old Rambler. Now Daddy started coming with us later and he was faithful. But Mama and Daddy, we'd go on Sunday nights and on Wednesday. You know, I'd have to be doing my homework in the back seat, maybe. And he goes, we're not going to, Pastor, I hope you're not asking us. No. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just asking you to consider. Oh, glory to God. Well, what can I do, Pastor? What can I do? Well, virtual church Immokalee, you can pray for local church Immokalee that they will be faithful to their call and to the birthing place, the city of habitation. And I hope Immokalee, local church Immokalee gets it, that anytime you can be here, be here anytime you can. And I understand kids and work and being 45 minutes or an hour away. I understand that. But well, I've said this before. I don't know. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I don't know if this will really make a big difference or not. I don't know that. I think it will with some, maybe. But if you could sow, you know, like sow. What does sow mean? Sow means that you're not... You're just sowing into something, knowing that you're part of, like, well, I can't make it, you know, every Wednesday night, but I could do 2 Wednesday nights a month or 1 Wednesday night a month. And heaven help, if you got real crazy, you know, just got really like, I'm just going to go real spiritual crazy. I'm just going to show up on a Sunday night service. Oh, my God. God will pay for your gas to get here. God will get you here and back. God will make things convenient for you the next day. God will change your world if you sow. And here's the deal. And I'm going to use the word shame, and you shouldn't say, you shouldn't shame anybody. I say shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. If you are not here on a Wednesday night and you watch some movie on TV or some show, when it's in your lap and it's in your hand and all you got to do is this and you're watching something else, I say shame, shame, shame. That's condemnation. Receive it. If for some reason you cannot attend a midweek service or Sunday night, then you should challenge yourself to sow your contribution from time to time into the birthing place with your attendance. Your attendance helps create a city of habitation for the virtual church. In other words, we're sowing back into them to receive from your ministry. We will continue to prosper in this outpouring of revival because we will never stop doing these three things. And I'll mention this, and I know God's blessings are going to be upon this house financially and attendance and in every other way because the three things that we will never stop doing. One, first thing we will never stop is giving opportunity for the greatest revelation of all revelation, Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and seated at the right hand of the Father, you have access to the born again. And right now, listen, right now, if you are not, if you've not accepted Christ, well, Pastor, I was in church from a little boy, a little girl. I was christened. Listen, believing in the existence of God doesn't mean you're ready to meet God. At some point, you have to make a viable decision to say, I personally receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. What does that mean? I make a commitment. I say, Lord, come into my life. Your crucifixion, your sacrifice has paid the penalty for my, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. And the way that you access that is not just to believe in his existence. You personally believe that he was crucified for you. And then you ask him, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And I receive you. And you become, the Bible says, a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean you change as in mindset. You will change. But what happens is a spiritual, total, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Instantaneously, you were a girl sitting there, you're a guy sitting there, you're a man sitting there, wherever you get born again, whether it's in church or wherever, and you say, Jesus, come into my life. And truly, something internally in that place where you're called a spirit being, it changes. It literally changes at that moment. Those of you that are watching and those of you who are in here, let's just take a moment. If you're not born again, or if you're not sure that you're eternally secure to meet Christ, I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray it with me. Let's say this together. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and wash me in your blood. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I will serve you the rest of my life. I thank you, Father, that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. The second thing that we will never stop doing is openly allowing you the opportunity to receive the power of God. The power of salvation is the power for you to live righteously. That is what anyone that never had done that received just then. But the power for ministry and the power to walk with God in the life of the fullness of the life of the new nature starts at the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Somebody says, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what our fundamentalist brothers will tell you. I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit. They believe that salvation and baptism are one event. I could give you three different places in the Word of God that I could totally refute that. It is a total separate moment of grace where the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes in, and the evidence, the physical evidence of that, is praying in other tongues. We will never give a place, if we had an auditorium with 5,000 people, we'll never say, well, we're going to let these people go over here and seek the, we're going to openly get you praying in other tongues right in front of the camera. Because it's part of the power. And it's a major part of the revivalist church. The third and last thing that I know that God will continue to bless this church for is that we will continue to open up the altars for prayer for anybody that needs prayer for miracles, signs, and wonders. And we're going to do that just now. I'm going to ask you to all stand. Harry is coming, and Robert, if you want to help him, that's fine. It'd be great. Hallelujah. By the way, let me tell you something. Oh, by the way, this is really good. We have the discipleship training manual that is on the face page of our website. And we did those, and those are 10 lessons. I wish I had. Those are 10 lessons. It may take just a second, but you got a second. Let me see if this boots up quick enough. Yep, okay. These are discipleship training manuals. I wanted to give you the titles. But what I wanted to say was, we had three of those that didn't have PDFs on them. So we taught this a year or two ago, and they're quick. Our nation, you know, millennials especially, they'll listen to a tutorial, but they don't want to listen to something for an hour and a half or an hour or whatever. But these are 20 minutes. Some, you know, I tried to keep them down, 30 minutes at the most. There is a PDF that is not a transcript, but it's an outline. They can follow the outline, and they can either watch the video or listen to it in their car as they go down the road with an audio portion. Or there's a PDF they can print and listen to it at the same time. Now here's the titles, and we got the last three. That's great. Sarah was able to finish the last three just this past couple of weeks. But let me tell you something. Let me just share this. Here's these titles, and this is what we cover in 20. These are not born again trail, like, you know, line on line. And I don't want to discredit that. Line on line, precept on precept. Like, there's a million things that we could have said besides of what was said in this. But these are indexes. These are quick studies for somebody to know. The first one was, what just happened to me? What just happened? I just got born again. What just happened to me? Second was, what just happened to me, part two. Third one is, three keys to spiritual growth. If you want to grow spiritually, here's three keys to spiritual growth. The fourth one is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we've got two PDFs on that. One that I just love is the one on how to get somebody filled with the Spirit. It's very practical, very powerful. The other one is spiritual food. The next, number five, is spiritual food and the Word of God. Number six is prayer, your lifeline to God. Number seven is praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you do that? And we activate people on those. And the eight is changing your world. And changing your world is really a message on confession. We kind of included all of our four basics on all this. And the number nine is private worship, intimacy with God. And then, you know, then we just put the gas on the fire at the end. The tenth one was fasting. But so we give them all of this real quick. And all you have to do is just, if you get somebody where it's interesting, somebody got in touch with me this past week, and they, 2 weeks ago, they said, I'm printing and passing these out to people, but the last three aren't up. Well, we got the last three up. Well, that's great. So what I'm saying is, there's stuff available, information. And I can tell you where, really, it's not done yet. I know where God wants to. What will eventually happen is, we will get somebody to transcribe the whole thing, and then edit it, and then we'll turn that edited edition into a book, and we'll go to Alex and he'll print it for us, and we'll turn that, so you'll have a book to give them as well. That's the final thing, and we're headed towards that. We'll get that done. God will get it done. But right now, hallelujah. If you're in here, I know somebody is holding a prayer cloth for the necessity. Somebody has stage 3 cancer, and they wanted prayer over that. So they're going to come. But anybody else that's in here physically, that you're, stand right there. What you need, buddy? He needs a prayer cloth. I see what you're after. There you go. You hold that, and I'll get with you in just a moment. If you're here this morning, and I'll get a couple guys to move this in just a moment, and you need prayer, the Bible says for us to call for the elders of the church, having them pray over us. So if you want to go out of here with a prayer, like you're fighting something physically, and you've been fighting it yourself, and maybe you've been making some inroads, some progress, or maybe you want to stand in for somebody. You just know somebody's really going through it. So come on now. Come and stand, and we won't delay this, and we won't prolong it other than just to lay hands on you and believe God for a miracle, a tangible, I mean right now, present tense miracle to take place in your body. Today, right now, not someplace out there in the future. And then I'll ask men and women, the elders, you know who you are, to come and stand around and get ready for me to pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Maybe you could just whisper to me quietly exactly what it is that you're believing God for when I come to where you're standing. Hallelujah. Anybody that's needing anything, you'd like people to pray, or the elders are going to be praying with me, they're going to be agreeing with me, and people online, we love you so much. Virtual Immokalee, we love you. Hallelujah. This anointing goes out to you as well. Be healed as well. Hallelujah, Jesus. So just, I'm going to pray for you. If you want to tell me what it is, or you don't have to, you can just say it's unspoken. Hallelujah. He already kind of just went over that earlier. And so that was that anointing was for you. And here comes something even more. In the name of Jesus, I command this thing to come off in the name of Jesus. By His stripes and by His grace, receive now that virtue. And I, yes, hallelujah. You know, He just, no more than just touched you. And He said, tell her that she's going to see a noticeable difference. A noticeable difference. Yes, the rest, the peace, it's going to be at another level. Receive this now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's going to bring you through this. And I'm alerted right now that the accuser of the brethren, he's coming against you. And I'm going to tell you that you'll really have no idea how your prayers have brought all this together. So I'm going to tell you this, what I hear him saying is, stay in there, because this is just a spiritual attack against your heart and mind, but it's a lie. And you're already on the other side of it. You're already on the other side of it. Already on the other side of it. So in the name of Jesus, receive that now. Receive that now in the name of Jesus. And let the strength and the glory and the grace of the Lord overshadow you and strengthen you in this. Don't receive anything but knowing this, that God has placed His hand on you for this particular call, in this particular season, in this particular reason. You've done more to put all this together than you possibly can imagine. Makaresa teridiatapa, nekaresa tala. This thing's lifting off of you now. In the name of Jesus. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So right now, stage 3, cancer. Where's that cancer at? And that she didn't know. How many believe we send this? And also in the days ahead, if you come in these prayer lines, if you want to bring a prayer cloth to send it to somebody, we're still doing that. We're still doing that. That as we haven't lost that. In the name of Jesus, stretch your faith this way. In the name of Jesus, to this lady, with a stage 3 cancer, I curse it. I curse it in the name of Jesus. And I command cancer to come out of her body in the name of Jesus. Cancer, I'm talking to you just like Jesus talked. Just like he spoke to the fig tree. You go in the name of Jesus. And I command you, woman, be healed in your body concerning this cancer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So you got a prayer cloth. And what is this for, my friend? Your aunt? Okay. Is she still alive now? She's at the hospital in Naples, but she died twice. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, she's still alive though. We're just going to believe God to raise her up in the name of Jesus. And I pray that the power of God goes through this and follows this prayer cloth, and in the healing virtue right now raises up this aunt in Jesus' name. Woman, be healed. Woman, be restored by the power of God in the name of Jesus. And follow this wherever this goes in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I saw God do something very similar to this when Davy was about the same age, and there was the possibility of a surgery, and then it just God changed it. All right. So in Jesus' name, I speak and I release the power of God into your body. And I command that in Jesus' name, this thing is absolutely done. There won't be any need of medical surgery or anything else. I release the power of God to you. Lucas, receive now the virtue of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Receive the power of God in Jesus' name. And we call it done, Father. We call it done, Father. We call it done, Father. You'll bypass even the Lord, the miracle medicine, you bypass that. We call it done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Believe in God for these parents to be born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Well, God, go get them. In the name of Jesus, and I agree with Victor that in Jesus' name, that they're born again. Their lives are changed, that you reveal yourself either through a dream, a vision, conviction, whatever it takes. I call them born again in the name of Jesus. Come upon them, Father, and get them, we pray, in Jesus' name. And I release the grace of God to them. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. And your that was cut, and then is there an infection? You don't know what it is. Okay. Lift your hands. Get ready. Receive the power of God in the name of Jesus. I command virtue into your body, and I release the power of God into your hand and into this infection or whatever this is in his chest. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Receive the virtue of God. Receive the power of God now. In the name of Jesus, be healed now by the healing virtue of the stripes of Jesus Christ. Now, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Well, God started a real work in this man a while back. Matt, his son, got him filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is his second or third time here with us. He just, my God, something he's wanting. Lift your hand, sir. those very things concerning that you've lifted up your heart before God and seeing all your family come in and the power of God come through your life like you've never seen. I say in Jesus' name, receive it now. I stand with you. Receive it now. Let the glory of God. Oh, Jesus, now. In the name of Jesus. Right now. Jesus. Receive that. And there's going to be a working. There's going to be a glory. There's going to be a glory that's going to follow you. Going to get those kids all born again. Now the family. In Jesus' name. And you're going to see an abundance of His grace and faith come upon you like you've requested. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. So what this infection that has been now for a couple of weeks, in Jesus' name, I command it with Mike and his faith. I command it out of his body in the name of Jesus. We extract this and we pull it out by the power of God in the name of Jesus. With the stripes of Jesus Christ, Mike, I command you healed of this thing. And I command it to go out of your body. And by the stripes of Jesus Christ, that even in this day, a noticeable, absolute difference. And I release it into your body now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the virtue of Christ is here. He is here. So in Jesus' name, I release the power of God. And I command that this thing, you know, this came about unexpectedly. And it reminds me of what he said about these eight things that were coming, the spirit of infirmity. I speak to you in the name of Jesus. I command you. I say unto you, spirit of infirmity, you come off of her body. She wins this fight, and in the name of Jesus, I command it done by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Kirsten, this thing is done. It's completed, extracted, pulled out of your body. In Jesus' name, you will not have authority over her nor rule in her body any longer. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in this procedure, that's all we'll say, Father. I say, may your hand be upon them to supernaturally endow and supernaturally bring about. And I release the power of God into their bodies in Jesus' name. And I command it done. I release it done. And I call it into existence by the power of God. Come about. In Jesus' name, be restored, be healed. Oh, with great, great things taking place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need some great things running around here. Great things. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Oh. Okay. And issues where? Well, Father, I pray for this, her dad, this recent accident, in Jesus' name, that you'll begin even today. Restoration on his body and his leg and his knee. More than all, I call him born again. I call him born again. Lord, that the legacy of that wonderful woman that served you and prayed the mysteries, God, you'll not forget, Lord, her years of endeavor. And I call the complete family coming in into this legacy, and that which was sown will not go undone, but it will be resurrected, and I call it born again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So all of this, you know, what seems to be like current kinds of sicknesses, but it's, we see right through that. We see right through it. In Jesus' name, I command the assignment. I speak to the assignment. Assignment, you're broken in Jesus' name. Hear me. You're broken off this home. You've broken off this home. You're broken off the business. In the name of Jesus, you're broken off the business and you're broken off the physical in the name of Jesus. And I release the power of God as this woman stands in the power of God now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You're broken off in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Yes, sir. I know that you know he addressed part of that in the beginning, and you felt it. But right now, individually, I say unto you, receive the grace of God in Jesus' name. And I command this thing broken off. By the power of God, this assignment against you, I command it broken off in Jesus' name. Be restored. Be healed. Oh, yes. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Manda kadesa didiato. Someone, a friend, a UTI, and some serious heart problems. In Jesus' name, right now, as she stands in proxy, by his stripes, I command this friend healed, and she'll be able to give a report to her friend that we prayed, and they know that something happened this day. Be healed, friend, in Jesus' name. Receive the virtue of Christ. Let the virtue of Christ flow into your body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Than ever before, another baptism and going forward. Jesus. The well not running dry, never run dry. Just increase. Yes, ma'am. Madakeresa didiate. When we stand in the gap for someone that's lost, we have to believe that you'll do anything that you can and all that you can through our authority. So for this person, that one that they'll come to an end in themselves, that they'll, God, we say this with love, they'll become so miserable, so incredibly miserable in what they think is where they want to be, that they'll come to an end to themselves. And then that their rest, that they'll have dreams of you. And Lord, you can even show up with a vision if necessary. But that God, the destruction, that Satan has blinded the mind of them, that you'll pull this blinding off their hearts and their mind so that they see, and that God, they come to a place where they realize they're miserable in their state. There has to be a change. So I agree now, and I say in Jesus' name, go after them. I release with Rosie and with Homer, go after them, Father. Like never before, through our authority in this house and what you desire to do in their salvation, I call them born again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Holy Ghost meetings and Jesus meetings, and we love you and thank you so much, all of you. We got room. There's room at the cross for you. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, you got confidence. Yes. Lift up those hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, her standing here in front of you for these very things yields up a place of faith in which you can reach into these things, Lord. So in Jesus' name, I say to you, receive the grace of God. I release the power of God to you now. Jesus. 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 In all these different places, you meet her, Lord. You meet her and you meet her and you meet her and you meet her. In Jesus' name. And I call it done. She walks away with a witness of your experience working, Lord. In Jesus' name. I command it done. Release it done. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise be to God. No church tonight. Sorry I made you sad. We will see you on Wednesday. Have a great Labor Day, but don't labor on Labor Day. Hallelujah. Enjoy your day. We love you.